Hallelujah. Would you grab your swords and turn to Hebrews chapter 1? Hebrews. I was away with my wife, and I did a lot of Hebrewing. Hebrewed every morning. I brought my wife her coffee every morning. In Hebrews 1 and verse 1. Let's read this together. God, who at various times and in various ways, everyone say various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So what he's saying here, he says, you know, God at various times and in various ways, has spoken. Everyone say spoken. In other words, there's various ways and there's various times that God speaks. And it says that he spoke through his prophets in the old, and now he's speaking through Jesus, his Son. In verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. In other words, his word means language. In other words, God spoke in various times in various ways. In other words, when God speaks, it's called an eternal language. There is eternal language. Everyone say eternal language. It isn't temporary language. It's eternal language. All things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become much better than the angels, as he has by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? That means in a specific time he chose to take from himself and create himself and call himself son. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, the one that he created, he says, your throne, O God. So here he says that he's going to take from himself and create a son. Then he says, to the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same. And your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? God spoke. In other words, there was an eternal language with an eternal voice and eternal words. God spoke. The way he was going to communicate with mankind, he chose to communicate through the prophets by his Spirit. And then he created his own voice, a tangible voice. and called him son. And he sent his eternal voice, his eternal words, and his eternal language into a temporary realm. Is everybody with me? And he sent it by the anointing. And in John 1, in verse 14, it says that the word became flesh. In other words, the language became flesh. Does everybody get this? Because a language has a word, a voice, doesn't it? It says the word, in other words, the eternal language became flesh and dwelt among us and was full of grace and truth. And of course, Jesus, known as the Christ, was the anointed one. And the word Christ means anointing. And in the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth. So in this, the language of God, the eternal language, came into a temporary realm. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, everyone say eternal language. See, we look at so many things differently, and there's certain things that had happened, and I was seeking the Lord about what's up? Why? You know, there's certain things that I don't ask him why. It's just in my spirit. I wonder why. You know, what's? But he always answers because he wants to bring it to you. You don't have to always ask God when or why or whatever. He brings it to you. You may just have a, I wonder. And he says, I know. I'll get it to you. Just hang tough and keep doing what you're doing, and I'll bring it to you. See, the problem is we begin to seek things sometimes when we're not supposed to. And it causes us to get off course. And that's one of the ploys of the enemy. He loves to get you off course. Because the word says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry. And he answered me. See, sometimes just by waiting, see, God knows what you think. He knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs are in your head. He knows everything about you. Nothing is hidden. He knows every goofy thought we have. He knows what you think about someone. Hello? He knows everything. There isn't anything hidden from him. So in this communion with God, in the relationship in the Spirit, there's an area where there's such a walk in living in life in the Spirit, that where there's a oneness and a closeness to where you don't have to ask something. You know it's coming. Hello. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is anybody there yet? In verse 1. Let's read this together. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now I want you to begin to look at the word of God in the area of eternal language. I'm telling you, you're going to see things differently tonight. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel, what's the gospel? It's an eternal language, isn't it? It's a message of eternal language. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing or decaying. In other words, because they cannot understand an eternal language. See, if you can't understand the language, there's no communication, is there? Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. The gospel is a message. Amen. Now go to verse 16. Would you read it? Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being what? Renewed day by day. How is the inward man being renewed day by day? By the eternal language. Come on. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory, which we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So the gospel is a message of truth from the eternal language into a temporary realm. Personally delivered by the eternal one in the anointing. In other words, Jesus was the unseen eternal language manifested in a temporary realm. Those that don't receive Jesus can't understand the eternal language. Those that have not received Jesus as their Lord and their Savior cannot understand the eternal language. Because you speak another language. I'm telling you, this has hit me strongly lately. In 1 John chapter 4. Sometimes I have found myself being so frustrated because I wasn't able to speak what I wanted to speak to someone, and what I spoke was because it was eternal language and they couldn't get it. One day I got on a bus to thank the kids that were working on our campus. And I went on a bus, I said, "Praise the Lord, how you doing? God bless you. The Lord's got great things." I began to speak things and they all looked at me like, "What is this guy talking about?" And all of a sudden out of my mouth came, "I know you don't understand my language." And I thought, "Lord, what do I do? I can't speak to them. I have no language for them." He said, "Why don't you just pray with them?" And I did, and they still were like, "What's with this guy?" I said, "Well, let's pray. Lord, just bless them." And they were like, I said, "Amen. See you later." I'm thinking, "Oh, God, Lord, he said, "They couldn't understand your language, guy." I thought, wow. And it happened to me, and it happens many times, and I'm sure it happens to you over and over and over. And there's certain things that you just want to grab, and you can't even write it down. You know, it's like, you want to lay hands, cast the devil out of them, do something just so they can understand the eternal language. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God." You know how you can test the spirit? Speak to them in the eternal language. I had some Jehovah Witnesses come up to my door one day. And they were trying to tell me about Jesus. And I said, "Great, let's pray." And I went out there and started praying in tongues. The only thing I saw was the bottom of their feet. So I chased one down. And I put a teaching that I had printed already. I was waiting for them. About the name of God, because the name of God is not Jehovah. That just means God. It's like, "Hey, boss," it means what's happening. His name is I Am. And then he chose to give himself a name when he came into this natural realm, and his name is Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. I thought, wow, let's see if they're really... they know the Lord. I began to pray in the Spirit, and whew, they were gone. Okay. Be Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hallelujah. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that runs when you pray in the Spirit. No. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which we have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world. They are of the world because they what? Speak of the world. They cuss, they do all kinds of other stuff. You can hear it come out of their mouth. They are of the world. They do not speak an eternal language, and I'm not just speaking about tongues. I'm talking about speaking God's word. Of course, you got to be careful on that, because a lot of them that speak God's word don't know him. But that's where you have to have discernment. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. And they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world. And the world what? Hears them. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us. Why? Because you speak the same language. Hello. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of what? Error. Wow. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Those who hear us know God. Don't hear us, they don't know God. Because we speak another language. Go to John 8. John chapter 8. Eternal language. In verse 42, there is a level of knowing God. How deep you want to get to know God depends on his presence in your life. That's why there's many people who can read the Word of God, but the presence isn't there. Does everybody got it? The anointing. So they may know the Word of God, but they really don't comprehend it. Because without his presence, we don't know him. See, they may know the word of God, but they cannot practice it. Because without his presence, you can't practice righteousness. It's impossible. So you can quote scripture and page numbers, but your fruits stink. You are still of the world. Because without his presence, you don't know him. You only know about him. Again, it's like Sports Illustrated. You know, Jesus the Savior. They got all of his statistics. Hello?
Yeah, I know him. He
healed the sick, delivered, he cast out devils, rose from the dead, he was born on Christmas Day, and, you know.
Yeah, I know.
No, you don't. You know about him. There's a difference in the arena of his presence. See, God desires your presence more than you desire his sometimes. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 42, and Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? In other words, he was trying to tell him, look it, I am God. I came from God. What's your problem? Why don't you understand what I'm saying? Why don't you understand my speech? He said, because you are not able to listen to my eternal language. You're not able to interpret it. He said, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, he speaks lies from his own resources, for he is a liar and a father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word, understands his eternal language. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So if you're in this room and you don't understand what's going on, you don't understand what's coming out of this mouth, you're not his and you're lost. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Is everybody okay? Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Oh, they know the scriptures about demons and stuff, don't they? They're trying to tell Jesus he's got a demon. Can you imagine telling God you got a demon? You must have a demon. I mean, man, I'll tell you. You know, when somebody speaks the language, in other words, the eternal language, when people don't understand the eternal language, they think you have a demon. It's the one that doesn't understand the eternal language has the demon. Jesus answered, I don't have a demon, you idiot. But I honor my Father and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word or my eternal language, my voice, he shall never see death. Why? Because eternal language keeps you eternal. Glory. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Boy, these guys were really out there, weren't they? Now these are the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were sad, you see. Are you greater than our father Abraham was dead? And your prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, or whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do not know him and keep his eternal language. I'm telling you, Jesus was tearing these dudes up. Called him a liar. All kinds of stuff. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Man, they were carnal, weren't they? And Jesus said to him, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Words of eternal language. John 6. My dad tore him up, man. Remember, he also spoke to them one day and he said, you search the scriptures thinking you have eternal life. But you won't come to me and get it. He rebuked them, called them hypocrites. John 6:62. And what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who what? Gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words, the language, that I speak, the eternal words, the eternal language that I speak to you are spirit, and they are what? They are what? Life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were and did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. In other words, only the Spirit of God, God can draw that person. It's called the salvation anointing. We'll talk about it in a second. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Why? Because they could not understand him. They did not, were not able to interpret his language. Does everybody understand that? Words of eternal life. They said, man, you're the only one who has the words of eternal life. Why? Because they're eternal language. His words are eternal language. Go to John 14. John 14, and verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. It's called Jerusalem. It's the eternal Jerusalem. It's a place where you and I will live. In fact, those who are dead in Christ, that's where they go. It's called paradise now in heaven. It's in another realm. It's the new Jerusalem. That's why you must have a glorified body so you can go back and forth during the millennium. Because that's your home. You got a mansion there waiting. It's being built right now. 777 Holy Avenue. Praise God. Not anointed, it's off of Anointed Boulevard. And I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, and where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Because they didn't fully understand the eternal language. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except for through me. In other words, everything revolves around the tabernacle of God. And when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the Jews were upset with him because he now said that I am the tabernacle of God. Because... And he said that the temple is going to be destroyed and it will be raised 3 days later. And they're thinking, man, it took 70 years to build this thing. What are you talking about? But they were upset with Jesus because the way, truth, and life is the name of the three chambers of the tabernacle. The outer court was known as the way. The holy place was known as the truth. And the most holy place was known as the life. Now, each chamber has a specific anointing. The outer court chamber is called the anointing of salvation. Each chamber has its own language also. The outer court is known as the salvation anointing. It's where the Father draws you. In this, the language is associated with salvation. You're saved by Jesus. There's repentance. There's redemption. So everybody got it. Here's the language. The next chamber is called the holy place, which is where the truth is, and it's called the priestly anointing. And in the priestly anointing is where you are get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you get an eternal language. You get another language called tongues. Are you with me? And this priestly language allows you to minister to the Lord because you are fulfilling your priesthood. And you get priestly garments. So the outer court, you are washed by the blood, the holy place, and you have salvation language. You have the language of salvation. And then the holy place, we have a language of an eternal language, and it's a representation that not only can you speak to God, but you are to minister to Him through praise and worship because you are fulfilling your priesthood. Now, the most holy place is called the warrior anointing or the kingly anointing. And in this is where revelation and understanding come for spiritual warfare. It is a warfare language. Is everybody with me? It is a spiritual warfare language. Now, these are the three chambers of the tabernacle. Outside is called out of the tabernacle is called outer darkness. That is called the world. Remember, we just read that they speak according to the world, and the world understands them because they are where? In outer darkness. And if they die in that condition, they go to hell. In this, there is an eternal language. That's why the Eternal One came to bring an eternal language, because the only way that you can overcome the things of the world, and the way the world is, and the way the world lives, and the way the world speaks, is through the things of eternal. Is everybody with me? Is everybody okay? Again, there's a salvation language, the priestly language, and the kingly language, or the warrior language. It's associated where, that's why, did you ever talk to somebody, and the only thing they know how to do is talk about salvation? Man, I've run into so many believers that I have a hard time. I'm like, Lord, why don't they understand what I'm saying? He says, because they don't have that language yet. They haven't fulfilled priesthood. They're not in the priestly. They haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So they're not going to understand that. So how can somebody understand warfare language when they only have salvation language? Come on, are you getting this? I'm telling you, this blew me away because I've talked to people, even though I've talked to many people, I'm like, okay, cool. What's up? They've been a believer for how long and they're still doing these things? Why are they still drinking? Why are they still smoking? Why, man, I'm telling you, I ran into people over the weekend that were claiming to be believers, and I'm thinking, Lord, what's up? And I tried to talk to them, and the one person that was talking about they knew about the intellectual things of the one world order and this, and they were afraid, and I'm thinking, what are you afraid of, man? Why are you afraid? And I realized he only had salvation language. He didn't have priestly language. Are you listening? These are eternal languages. He had the eternal salvation language. Well, I'm saved. No, you're not. You're still puffing and huffing and drinking. You're out there, Holmes. Are you listening? Why? Because they only can comprehend the salvation language. They haven't gone to the next chamber yet. Everything revolves around the tabernacle of God. Everything. And that's why the devil takes a lot of people out where they only know salvation language. He tricks them up real easy and gets them right in the outer darkness. Because you must maintain that language. You must maintain the presence of God to maintain the language. Hello? Is everybody okay? 1 Corinthians 3. Every time something comes on my heart and I'll write something, whatever, my wife always says to me, make sure I look at it. Do not send it out until I've looked at it twice. I said, why? She said, because you write past, present, and future all at one time. And people don't understand what you're saying. But my wife does, so she rewrites it for me. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Would you read it with me? And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to what? Spiritual people, but as to what? Carnal, as babes in what? Why? Because they only had what? Salvation language. I fed you with what? Milk, and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able to receive it. Why? Because they've never accessed the next chamber. The enemy's been sticking them and gluing them into the outer court chamber, where the only thing that they are maintaining is a salvation language. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like what? Mere men. Still carnal, not able to understand eternal language, only salvation. John 16. Again, I want you to understand that you must maintain this by maintaining the presence of God and by feeding off of the Word of God, because it's eternal language, isn't it? So you still must maintain the presence of God and get the eternal Word in you. That's how you maintain. Or the devil's going to come, and the Bible says that he steals the seed. The seed is representation of the eternal language. He begins to take it away. No longer are you quoting scriptures. You're not fighting anymore. You begin to just, oh, the Lord's will be done. That's salvation language. The Bible says that you and I are to take it by force. That's a warrior, isn't it?
Oh, Lord, please, your will be done.
I can play dominoes better than you can. John 16, in verse 12, Jesus said to them, listen, I still got many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Why? Because they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. Has everybody got it? He's talking to those disciples that are following him. He says, listen, there's a lot of things I got to tell you, but you ain't going to get it because you can't understand that language yet. You're still outer quarters. Even though you're with me, I got you covered because I'm here. But once I leave, run to the upper room. Don't go out and tell nobody about me because I'm going to give you the next eternal language in the next chamber. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will what? Guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and what? Declare it to you. So Jesus explained that when the Holy Spirit, the priestly anointing, comes, a priestly language will come, and you will have more understanding of eternal things by the eternal language. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's why it's important to pray in tongues. But I don't know what I'm saying. Praise God. Finally. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Now I want you to again understand that the enemy can trick you and get you out of any chamber at any time. He sways you out. And then he convinces you when he moves you out of a chamber, you can only understand the language of what chamber you're in. Come on, are you getting this? So there have been people that have been warfare, and next thing you know, they're in the outer court. What happened? Well, the enemy swayed them out. Now the only thing that they're relying on, they start making excuses, compromise, and get lazy and go, well, I don't drink anymore, but I'm saved. When 2 weeks ago they were fighting and warring, now they're back out from the most holy place out to the outer court. Because the enemy sways you out of the chambers. I'm telling you, everything revolves around the tabernacle of God. Everything. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Read it with me. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his what? Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of the man except the spirit of the man which is in him? So he only knows things of the carnal, doesn't he? The carnal man. But the Spirit reveals things to us, but you got to be in the Spirit to get it. And you got to be able to understand the eternal language that the Spirit is speaking as he interprets it for us. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, hello, but the Spirit was from God that we might what? Know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Then why don't people know the things that are freely given to them by God? Because they're still caught in the outer court chamber and they only understand the salvation message. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. But the carnal man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. That's why sometimes you're talking to someone, you're trying to, you know, speak to them in an eternal language, because these are the words that are life, and they're looking at you like, what? Then you got to stop. Okay, Lord, how do I do this? Get them a teaching. Okay. Why? Because as I begin to listen to the teaching, it begins to break. It begins to draw them. It begins to open. And they'll at least be able to get something and thirst and hunger to get into the next chamber. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned, understood. Has everybody got it? The Holy Spirit interprets to us the priestly language, doesn't he? He interprets to us the things of God. Man, I don't know how to put things in words, but I can only share with you the essential of getting this understood tonight, because you're going to need to communicate with a lot of people, and you're going to find out that they can't understand what you're saying. Because you speak another language. You do not speak a temporary language. You speak an eternal language. That's why when you go to places, you might be at a place of work. You might be at a place. You might go back and say hello to your family. And they're all there doing all their... And you're looking and you ain't got nothing to say. Well, what do you got to say? Repent and try again, man. You know, so you can tell them, you got a demon, and many. 1 Corinthians 14. The problem that when people only understand the salvation language, they're in danger. Because they actually believe that they're saved. Yet they fornicate. Are you listening?
Because I'm saved.
Jesus paid the price. Yes, he paid the price for you to get out of that court and get in the next one. The outer court is a danger court. It's dangerous. The outer court is only supposed to be a place of quickness. In, out. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Would you read it with me? Pursue love and what? Desire. Everyone say desire. Spiritual gifts. Desire. You don't have a desire for spiritual gifts? You don't get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because if there's not a desire of the gifts of the Spirit, you won't get baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's why you must have a desire to speak in tongues. You must have a desire to move in the gifts of the Spirit. You must have a desire. Without that desire, you don't get it. And then people go, oh, I ain't got it yet. Well, do you have a desire? Well, if God wills, oh, you outer quarter, you. I want to set the whole outer court on fire, so they got to run into the next court. When I call fire down, I'm calling it on. Yeah, Papa, burn the whole first court up, man, so everybody runs to the next one. The problem is, when it happens, they run to outer court, outer darkness, instead of the next chamber. Hallelujah. Ah, I'm running to the world. Salvation is too tough. I don't understand any of this. Then you ask for it. Lord, grant me the desires. I want to please you. See, if you don't want to know him, he's not going to force it on you. That's why when we get in trouble, we go to God. Oh, Lord, help. Okay, good. Get in the second chamber. You've been living in the outer chamber for so long, man. You're going to become the official sacrifice if you don't get out of there. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Well, prophesying means you're speaking eternal language. But he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. Thank God you don't have to speak to your neighbor. Just slap him. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? God. Hallelujah. Everybody wants to speak to God. Amen. Everybody wants to see God, speak to God, have a conversation. But they're not willing to pick up the phone. It's in the second chamber. It's called a hotline. For he speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. Isn't that wonderful? However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, revelations. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. In other words, to the church. Prophesying, you're speaking eternally. In other words, you are being prophesied right now over. Prophecy isn't just about things that are future. It's when God is speaking through his servants and bringing eternal language and impartation into you. What is coming from out of this dude's mouth is what's been prayed in the Spirit and then interpreted by the Spirit and through to you. Has everybody got it? Somehow, I went for a long pass and I caught the anointing. And I began to pray in the Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit imparted it. I didn't know what was what. He knew the question already. He answered it. And by answering it, He said, now feed my sheep. Feed my sheep with my eternal language. Feed my sheep with my eternal words. This is my food. You're getting fed just as I am right now. Does everybody understand? And it's a good meal. Praise God. In verse 5, I wish, I desire you all spoke with tongues. In other words, I wish you'd all get in the second chamber. But even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless what? Indeed, he what? Interprets tongues. In other words, you are interpreting now. That's warrior. Third chamber. That the church may receive what? Edification. Go to verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the what? spirit, and I will also pray with the what? Understanding. In other words, I'll pray in the eternal language to the Father, and I will speak the eternal language to men. And I will sing in the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Eternal language in the temporary realm, but interpreted by the Holy Spirit. Or what the Holy Spirit does is he's the translator with the temporary words. He uses temporary words to bring across. But they're actually eternal words in a temporary, there are temporary words, but inside these temporary words is eternal meanings, eternal mysteries, eternal message. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Is everybody with me? Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with what? Persuasive words of human understanding, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, how true. Not in human wisdom, but in eternal language, didn't he? He spoke to them in an eternal language. Because in the eternal language, it produces a manifestation of change. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, as you see the news and you see these individuals that call themselves reverends and they come on and, you know, they're promoting politicians and abortions, saying that people have a free right to do whatever. And it's like, why don't they get this? How can these people proclaim themselves as men and women of God, or even to proclaim themselves as a Christian, and still promote politicians that promote abortion, same-sex marriage? You know why? They don't understand the language. They're outer quarters. And an outer quarter Christian is dangerous. They're dangerous. Why? Because the next step out is outer darkness. They're still controlled by feelings, pleasing of men, and selfish desires. They're in a saved state, but not a born-again state. A saved state of being is a dangerous place. You're safer in a born-again state of being. And that born-again state of being is by the Spirit of God. And that's in the second chamber. Because it's a character of His image and likeness. Does everybody understand? That's why many people who are in the outer court still struggle. And they struggle in the area of lust and perversion. They struggle in the areas of worldliness. They still want to go out to the world because they're so close to it. It draws them. You know what? If you're all the way into the holy, most holy place, where's your most likely place that you'll have a draw? In the most holy place. It's deeper, isn't it? So you can praise and worship and still be in outer court. Has everybody got it? Because if you don't understand the language, you'll misinterpret things. Because when the language is not understood, it causes a flawed belief system. And a flawed belief system brings a flawed perception. Has everybody got it? Where there's a flawed belief system, it brings a flawed perception. In other words, you are not perceiving what God is really doing. You're perceiving what carnality is expressing. and verse 1. It is doubtless and not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know. God knows such a one was caught up to the what? Third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard what? Inexpressible words or language, which is not lawful for a man to what? Utter. In other words, the language was so pure, it wasn't able to utter or understood. It was so pure that it could not be expressed by human. It was so pure. Such a pure language that to Paul he said, this is, I'm filthy. It's unlawful for a man to even touch this language. It's unlawful for a man to express it because it is so pure. Because he was taken where? He was taken home. Ephesians 6. An eternal language. You know, many, even the word says that many things that Paul wrote, many couldn't understand because he spoke in a kingly language, in a warrior language. In Ephesians chapter 6. Because there are people who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit but never have maintained that chamber, that presence. They've been baptized there, they're hanging there, and then they slide back. Oh, they can still pray in tongues. Look, you can pray in tongues and cast out devils in the first chamber also after you've already accessed. Because the gifts are without reproach. Does everybody understand that? So you can be in the first chamber and still pray in tongues. You can be in the first chamber and still prophesy after you've already entered. See, once you've entered these other chambers, you can still have the gifts manifest. Remember the ones that stood before the Lord and they said, Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We prophesied in your name. We did all of that. We raised the dead in your name. We healed in your name. And you said, yeah, depart from me. You practice lawlessness. Why? Because they were believers that were manifesting the gifts of the Spirit, but they were in the outer chamber. They are actually in the world. They were doing it for selfish gain. They were practicing lawlessness. Something wasn't right. In Ephesians chapter 6, is everybody there? Verse 10. And Paul wrote this because Paul was able to maintain an area in the chambers. He was understanding kingly language. And he began to interpret what the Spirit was saying. He began to write about warfare. Why? Because that's a warrior. So Paul understood the third chamber. In verse 10, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In other words, he spoke of spiritual warfare. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith with which you should be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. It's amazing how many believers still do not get dressed with the full armor of God. Yeah, I prayed. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for this day. Please bless all the food I eat today. And grant me more money. And send a wife or send a husband. And, I could use a new job. Thank you, I love you. Bye. And there are some people that don't even pray. They don't even pray, and they're called Christian. It's called Christianless. They're not Christians. A Christian has a relationship with the Christ. If you don't have a relationship with the Christ, you are not a Christian. and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the eternal language, backed by the anointing, kicks butt. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Where? In the Spirit means tongues. That's the seventh part of the armor of God. Well, I never saw that before. Seven means complete and perfect. There's always seven parts. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the eternal language of the message, the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Glory. Paul had entered the warrior or kingly anointing of a language of warfare. Again, many still don't understand the true worship of the priestly anointing. And many still don't warfare. I'm telling you, there's so many people that do not put on the full armor of God. It amazes me. You know why? Because they don't understand the language. Hello? Jesus, now think about this. How did Jesus overcome the devil? With the eternal language. How about Moses? The Lord visit Moses. There was no way Moses was going to get the people out of Egypt, was he? But the Lord spoke to Moses and said, go release my people. He said, what? Me? He said, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll speak for you. I'll speak through you. I'll give you the words. I'll give you the eternal words. And when Moses spoke the eternal words, the water was turned into blood. Hail came. Frogs manifested. Fleas. All kinds of things manifested. Why? Because the eternal world word also creates. So the Lord sent Moses with the eternal language to get the people out of the world. Egypt was known as the world. Without understanding the eternal language, you can't come out of the world. It's impossible. You go back to the world. Go to John 10. Almost done. John 10, verse 3. Something like that. Oh, nice. Let's start at verse 1. John 10, verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them what? Out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will not by no means follow the what? Stranger. But will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. And it doesn't mean that they don't know the voice of the stranger. It means that they discern not to follow the voice of the stranger. Because the voice, the eternal voice, is more prominent to them. Because they no longer, listen, they no longer know the other voice. The only voice they know is the eternal one. Has everybody got it? Proverbs 4. Glory. Eternal language. Verse 18. Proverbs 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness, and they do not know what makes them stumble. Why? Because they can't interpret it. They just go. I think they just go. Oh. And they stumble. Because they're living for self. My son, verse 20, give attention to my what? Words. How, is that eternal language? Yes. Incline your ear to my sayings. Is that eternal language? Yes. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their what? To their flesh. Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Is everybody there? Let's start at verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he transfigured before them. In other words, he turned into eternal. Hello, the eternal language that became natural flesh now turned into an eternal. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to him, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Yeah, what else could he say? Yo! Somebody wake up, Peter. It is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles. That's all Peter knew what to say. Let's build a building. Let's go. Come on, you guys can stay a while. Peter wanted to capture that anointing. But he said, 3 tabernacles or 3 chambers. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Let's just build it right now. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came, an eternal voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Why? Because he carried eternal language. Revelation 3, we'll close here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, I believe. Yeah. Is everybody there? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Isn't that nice to know? What's he trying to do? Kick you in the outer, kick you out of the outer court.
Get out of here.
Behold, I stand at the door. See? Verse 19 again. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be what? Zealous and what? Repent. In other words, stay on fire. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, he says, hear him. Eternal language. How are you going to overcome? You must know the eternal language. That's what overcomes the world. So then he says, if you hear my voice, I'm going to come and dine with you. Why? Because you understand my language. And then he says, he who overcomes. Why? Because he's going to overcome the world by knowing the eternal language. So everybody got this. And he says, and I will grant you to sit with me because you overcame. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our what? Why? Is that eternal language? Yes. Yes. So maybe many people aren't going to understand you because you speak another language. But that's okay. You just pray for them and hope that they get the other language. They get an understanding and they come out of the outer court. Some of them need to come out of outer darkness. Again, I have spoken to many people who have proclaimed that they've been believers for so many years, yet they do not understand my language because we don't speak the same language. They speak salvation. I speak priestly and kingly. There's a difference. And there's a difference in each and every one of us. It's going to get crazier out here soon. Why? Because we speak in a language that the world does not understand. They think you're nuts. They don't understand about the true anointing. They don't understand about witchcraft. They practice witchcraft because they think it's just okay. Because they don't understand the spiritual language. The spiritual language exposes. The Bible says that the word is like a two-edged sword that pierces the spirit, soul, and body and exposes the intents of the thoughts and the heart. Because it's an eternal language that penetrates everything of the natural realm. Nothing could stop it. That's why Jesus said, "My words will not return void." Because it goes through everything. See, but the enemy will try to convince you that nothing's happening. But it is. It is. Praise God. Again, the three anointings have three languages. It's time. Don't get frustrated when people don't understand you. And don't throw your pearls before swine. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We commit our spirit, soul, and body and flesh to you as a living sacrifice with great honor, Master. We thank you for everything that not only what you've done, but what you're doing and about to do. I pray, Father, anyone in this room that's in the outer court or in outer darkness, that you would translate them, transport them, or kick them right into the next court without hesitation. I pray, Father, that you'll give them the desire for spiritual gifts and a desire to please you. And that they will know you, not just about you, but know you. And that you will be glorified in each and every vessel here tonight. And that they will be an expression and an extension of your eternal language, of your presence, and of your power. I pray blessing over each and every one here tonight. I pray your face shine upon them and your countenance uplift them. And that you would grant them favor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.